it's still as fun as I remembered it being when I was a kid.
Nice.
It's like super fun.
I really like the movie.
The movie's cool. Great. Oh yeah, the movie's really good. Yeah, the G.I. Joe movie and the Transformers movies are both pretty well on par. They're both really good.
Cobra La.
Yeah, that's with Serpentor. That's where Serpentor comes in. Yeah. I think he comes in that, and then he goes back to the series after that.
It's not just, I mean, Serpentor. Oh yeah, Serpentor, and then like, the dude with the long tail. The aliens come in that one.
What?
In the G.I. Joe the movie.
No. Aliens? What are you talking about?
Yeah, dude, the aliens.
There's no aliens. There's a bunch of snake people and lizard people and giant bugs and stuff. Well, there's no aliens.
They're basically like aliens. My 8-year-old self, when I saw it, they were aliens.
Well, they shoot weird evil spores up into the outer space, into orbit, and then the spores burst and send, or the, you know, the egg, seed pods burst in orbit, and then they send spores down to try and like de-evolve all of the humans on the Earth back down to apes, so that reptiles and bugs can take their place and rule the world. It's pretty ingenious.
It just seems like Cobra Commander could have taken over the world if he'd just done something rational, right? I mean, with all those resources, if you can do all that, you could probably just do something more rational.
That's part of what his character is, that he's, you know, he's got grand resources and he's a very charismatic leader and everybody wants to follow him, including Destro, who basically, you know, supplies. Destro is the arms dealer, you know, and the arms guy. He's not a member of Cobra. So it's Destro who supplies him with all the technology and stuff. But it's just, you know, so Cobra Commander's charisma and his leadership and his power and all hail Commander Cobra. But he makes such poor choices. He's such a bad military leader, right, that
and
he fails.
Serpentor, he was in charge of Cobra Commander, or he was below Cobra Commander?
He's above Cobra Commander, yeah.
How did that work?
He was just, I mean, I, well,
Cobra Commander one day came to work and somebody was like,
well, he was like
there's
this,
a new boss.
He was like the secret leader. Like all along, my understanding, all along Cobra Commander was quietly taking commands from Serpentor. And then in G.I. Joe the movie is when Serpentor steps up and says, look, I'm sick of you, Cobra Commander, and all your crap.
Yeah, because he like gives him like, he messes up his face and
yeah,
stuff.
He turns him back. He makes him de-evolve.
Into a snake.
Right, yeah. I was once a man. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, Cobra Commander, man.
I know. Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, May 12th, 2014, and you are listening to episode 102. My name is Rob. I'm sitting here with Jason.
Hello.
Yeah, and we're back again to talk about board games and stupid whatever we feel like talking about. So if you don't like it, shut up.
That was harsh.
Yeah,
I mean, it's true, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
but actually, more or less.
It's more like if you don't like it, maybe try another podcast.
Skip ahead 5 minutes. We'll move on to something else. Yeah,
that's fair. Let's do that. Let's do that, folks. Don't stop listening to the podcast.
Yeah. No, we love you guys. Yeah, how's it going? What's new?
It's pretty good.
We know that summer is on its way because it's already hot in the studio. I mean, we're still wearing jackets outside, but it's warm enough outside.
In here,
now,
we're wearing shorts and t-shirts.
Shorts and t-shirts.
To try and stay not hot.
Right, but it's not going to last for very long.
It is not.
Yeah.
We've
had a busy couple of weeks here, haven't we?
Went to Florida for a while. That was a good time.
Yeah, we just decided, hey, it's Berlin. Let's go to Florida, man.
Yeah, let's go to Florida to a work conference. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, no, we were there for a... Because Jason and I are both mortgage bankers. We're bankers. And we went to a conference, and we were there for like 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was hot and rainy. And so we pretty much sat in the air-conditioned bar and played games every evening. And that was actually pretty good.
It was good. The playing games part was the best, I think. Yeah. Well, that and the free booze.
Well, oh yeah, the free booze and the free food. Was great.
Lots of both.
Lots of both. Too much.
One day
much
we were just there in the afternoon, and like, oh, hey. There's free ice cream. Just go get some ice cream.
Let's just go get some ice cream. It's right there.
And we're like, oh, yeah.
I had a Choco Taco.
You did?
Man, I haven't had Choco Taco in so long. Let me tell you a secret. Choco Tacos are awesome.
You know what I really wish they'd had?
What?
The chip burger. Remember they had that for a while?
No.
It was basically a chocolate chip cookie sandwich. Yeah. Those are my favorite.
Was it like vanilla ice cream between two chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds
but the,
good.
The vanilla ice cream had chocolate chips all the way around the outside.
Oh, dude, I do know what you're talking about now that you say that. Yes.
Culver's a local place we have around here. A lot, it's in a lot of other states too, especially if you live in the Wisconsin area.
Yeah.
They used to have, they'd have two like cookies, like yay big, like huge, the like, size of like my hand,
4 right? inches in diameter. Yeah. For the people who are listening, you can't see your hand.
Sorry. And, well, if you've met me, you know how, what size my hands are approximately.
Tiny little girl hands.
Not really. Anyways, two like soft bake cookies that were big.
Yeah.
With like vanilla custard just lumped in the middle.
That sounds pretty awesome.
They stopped making it. They were like, no, we just have it with like these pre-packaged cookies. And I was like, no, thank you.
No, you can die. You can die because you ruined my favorite dessert.
That is a little...
A little harsh,
probably,
but
a little harsh.
That sounds good.
I'm in a great mood today. Hey,
I'm in a terrible mood.
So we were in Florida. Yeah. We played some games.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the games we played.
Okay. Right on. We played several games. What did we play first?
Well, first, the first game we played actually was Water Balloon Washout.
Oh, that's
first
right.
Three-handed Water Balloon Washout.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
It was. It was fun.
First time I played that in a while, actually.
Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah. It was good. Played with the published edition.
Yeah, the published copy.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Fun.
Yeah, it went well. You got smoked pretty early.
I did.
Because you're the easy target as the designer.
Yes. Yeah,
that's okay.
Course. That's all right.
Yeah.
Then after that, we tried Hanabi.
Hanabi.
Three-player Hanabi.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first time we'd ever played it. And we had been drinking, and we didn't even
cheated
do that.
The whole time.
We only got like an 18, though.
We
cheated our pants off. It was so tough. Yeah. And we still got a lower score than most games I have when we're sober. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, so see that I feel like that's kind of a pretty fundamental flaw in that game. That you're not supposed to cheat, but... You want to, if everyone cheats, even if one person cheats, then everyone wins. So why wouldn't you cheat?
Well, so I think the best way to play Hanabi, honestly, is with a group of people you don't know.
Sure.
Because then you don't know how everybody else
feels.
You
have that social obligation to work together and not cheat.
Right.
Right. But if you're playing with friends, whatever, I want to win this thing.
And the first time I played at an unpub, that's what it was like. It was, I'm trying to remember who else was in it. Two people I don't remember their names. And then the other one was AJ.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, so AJ was the only person I really knew there, as in to say, like, I could read, like, you know, and so I just kind of followed AJ's lead, and AJ's a straight shooter. He wasn't trying to cheat. So, you know, we were all good. But, and with other friends, I've done all right. But with you and our friend Taryn, it was just terrible. Like, you're like, so you're saying I should discard this card based on the facial expressions.
It was bad. It was...
Drinking does not help that.
No,
because you don't want to be serious, you know?
Yeah, that's not it. I just don't think that's a game for me. I mean, I get it. I get the fun of it, but I just don't think it's a game for me.
So, we also tried that night... Let's just talk about the first night
for this
episode. Mm-hmm. What was the other game we played?
We played Flowerfall.
Flowerfall,
Which was a spectacular failure.
Yeah.
Because we were playing on a very tiny little bar table.
It was bad. The game looked cool, though. Like, I'm interested to try it on a real table.
And we were only dropping the cards from, like, you know, 13, 14 inches up above
which we
the table.
Still had trouble aiming them, though.
Yeah, so it was the wrong way to play the game.
Yeah.
We needed a bigger space. We needed to be dropping the cards from a higher position, and three players really just was not as good as it should be.
Right.
I mean, 4, 5, or 6 with flower balls is the better way to do it. So that was kind of a bust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, we played the Let's Go Outside because there's a fire alarm game.
Yeah, right.
That's not a fun game.
No, we had just finished Flowerfall and we were picking it up and we'd asked for our check and then the fire alarm went off.
Yep.
And we're like, huh, well, that's cool. Do we skip out on the check and just go because that's what you're supposed to do when the fire alarm goes off? No, we didn't do that. We just sat around and waited for our check.
A waitress was got super fast, though, once the fire alarm went off.
Right. She was really super slow the rest of the evening, but as soon as the fire alarm went off, she was like, y'all need to go.
Well, and she was like, I don't want you to leave. So we just charged it to our room, which was nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah. So, is that it? Oh, yeah, that was just those three.
Just those three the first night.
All right. Yeah, that was good. I mean, Flowerfall, I mean, I still really like it, but it's just not... I don't know. It's not having the life that I hoped it would have.
Yeah. I mean, I would play it again. I'll say this. I would really like to try it on a bigger table.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a game I would play more than one more time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing about, like, I probably paid 15, 20 bucks for that game. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly. And I've played it maybe 6 times. maybe not even that many times. And so, I mean, this makes me think about the value proposition, right? Right. So you know, if you're going to go out and see a movie at a movie theater, you get 2 hours of entertainment, and you're probably going to spend $10 to $15, if you're lucky, to get into that place, plus drink some popcorn. For two people, you're looking at, you know, a $50 or $60 night, right?
Mm-hmm.
To go see a movie for 2 hours, two and a half, three and a half if it's a Peter Jackson movie, let's be honest. But
or James Cameron.
Or James Cameron, right. So that's a pretty acceptable value proposition there, right?
Okay. Right.
Then you think about a video game, where you might be spending $60 on a game that you're going to spend 40 hours playing, maybe more, or depending on the game, maybe a lot more, maybe less than that.
Right.
So when it comes to a board game or a tabletop game, I'd say I've probably had about 3 hours of fun out of Flowerfall. Let's be just generous, kind of round that off. I'll say I've had a total of 3 hours of game time with Flowerfall.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's say I spent $20 for that. That's still a better deal than going to see that movie.
Yeah, assuming you and your wife went to see the movie.
Right, yeah.
Well, especially because, yeah, two people enjoy the game. I mean, so, like, meaning, like, if you both played it.
So that's kind of a weird way to think of it, you know? Well, I've never talked about that idea out loud before.
See, and I thought about it when Risk Legacy came out.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, that's right, we have talked
about that. Because Risk Legacy, you know, you're like, you get 12 plays, right?
Something like that.
Something like that for $60.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, that's a waste of money. And it's like, yeah, but dude.
Sorry, we said that before.
Yeah, find a game you've played more than 12 times, and you got a good deal on that game. Settlers of Catan, it's like they're paying me to play the game I've played so many times.
Same thing with me and Carcassonne.
It's right, like, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, heck, I mean, I paid like $6,000 for Waterbloom Wash, and I've only played it once so far. I'm kidding. No, I mean, really, I did, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know, it's just interesting to think of it. If think of smaller games in those terms, you know, those smaller compact experiences. I don't know. Like if I think of it in those terms, I haven't gotten my money's worth out of most of the games in my collection,
especially the ones I've never played in my collection.
Yeah,
which is a lot of them.
Yeah, I'd say I've got 8 or 10 in my collection I've never touched,
but I have 20 that I've never played.
Yeah,
I did a demo and was like, "This game is awesome," and I still look at the game and think that game's awesome. Right. I should play that. And I know that I may never play it.
And if I've got 8 or 10 that I've never played, I've probably got another 15 or 20 that I've only ever played once.
Once, right.
Yeah, which is frustrating. You know, after Carcassonne, I bet the one I've played the most is probably Redneck Life.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Morels.
Oh, Morels is up there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Redneck Life, man,
I'm so sick of that game. It was super fun when I got it, and it was super fun the next 12 times after that. The next 6 times after that I played it, it was super fun. But the next 6 times after that... kind of sick of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played that game twice now, I think. And both times I've had a great time.
Yeah.
But it's because it was an experience. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's why
I was at Gen Con playing it. And it was funny.
Right.
And yeah. But
yeah. So, and I made a New Year's resolution to stop complaining about Cards Against Humanity at the start of the year. So I'm not going to bring that into this conversation. That was all I'm going to say about it. So, okay, I'll just say I do feel like I've gotten my money's worth out of that game.
Sure.
I'm done playing it, but I'm done playing it. But it paid for itself in fun. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, that's all you can ask for in a game, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The cool thing about other games that are not party games are they can come up with an expansion and that might reinvigorate you to play that game again.
True.
You know, I mean, that's kind of what they've done with Settlers and all the products. Though I've never played anything but Settlers.
Yeah. You know, Escape the Curse of the Temple is one that we've played a lot since Gen Con last year. I think I spent $40 on that at Gen Con. That was a super good value. I've gotten a ton of fun out of that. Yeah, so that was a really good value. Yeah, man, it is weird to think about games in that kind of context.
It's depressing to think about games in that kind of context.
Why? Why is that depressing?
Because I can think of probably $1,000 I've spent on games that I've never played.
And D&D minis and magic cards. And
oh, so let's talk about that a little more. Let's talk about value propositions a little more. I feel like this is becoming in light of the week.
Marvel Dice Masters that has come out recently.
So I have a problem.
Yeah, you do.
The problem I have is I can't play collectible games because the collector in me wants to collect. Now,
Got to catch them all.
Yeah. No, I never played Pokemon. But I used to play Magic. And it was weird because when I played Magic, I was never about collecting.
Mm-hmm.
There were key cards that I wanted.
Yeah.
But it was never like, do I have this whole set? And that's because I was a kid and I didn't have any money and I couldn't afford to try and get a set.
Mm-hmm.
And then I grew up and I started playing D&D minis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the Gotta Catch 'Em All fever with D&D minis. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. I played the game so much that something finally clicked and I said, I want one of everything. I want one of everything.
Yeah.
Even though there were $30 minis that I knew that I would never play. Because right. they weren't good for competition.
Yeah, but they were not. They were looked so cool.
But I was
and
able
a part of a set,
right? But I was yeah. able to justify it
yeah.
because I also played D&D, right?
Right.
But now, you know, I guess what really sucked for that was so I do this huge collection, and I had 2,000 plus minis. I still have most of them,
mm-hmm.
and there was a point when I bet they were where that set was worth 10 plus grand that I had.
Wow!
Because I had every set like from mm-hmm. the beginning for like. 8 sets or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I had multiples of a lot of very expensive miniatures because those are the good ones you wanted to use in tournaments.
Yeah, sure.
And then they changed how it works.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they changed all the rules.
In the bottom just fell out. They weren't worth anything anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, they're worth a couple bucks here and there, but like, you know, minis that were worth $60 became yeah. worth $5.
Yeah.
And granted, I never paid $60 for a mini, and a lot of mine were spoils from winning tournaments, but
mm-hmm.
still, you know, I mean,
yeah.
So when I started playing Dreamblade, I said, no, you're not going to get me. And they did it. I mean, to a point. Like, I still blew tons of money on Dreamblade.
Yeah.
But I never tried to make the sets. I would not let myself do it. And that worked better for me.
Yeah.
You know? I had the same problem when I played World of Warcraft. I always wanted to complete everything.
Yeah.
And there's just no time for that.
Yeah.
Nobody's got time for that. Actually, yeah. there are plenty of people that have time for that.
I ain't got time for that.
Good for them.
Yeah.
So now... We see Marvel Dice Masters.
Yeah, because, man, holy cow, where did this... I'd never even heard of it before about 2 weeks ago, and now it's all people are talking about.
And it's this huge deal, and they get you, because a booster pack costs $1.
Yeah.
$1!
Mm-hmm.
You spend more than that every day on Red Bull.
I do.
You could buy, like, 4 packs a day for even, the one Red Bull you buy.
Even the days that I don't buy a Red Bull, and I just get orange juice instead, I could still get, you know, 1.5... No, probably 2 booster packs for that.
Yeah. Maybe that's how you should reward yourself. You should stop drinking Red Bull and say, okay, Red Bull's $4 a day.
Yeah.
I'll spend $2 a day on booster packs of Marvel right. Dice Masters.
And then I'll sleep through the first half of my workday. I say, that's kind of... I'm just going to get fired then and then lose even more money.
They're never going to fire you.
Well, no, but...
You are one of the most secure people in that office. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah. You know, and this collector bug, I mean, I had that in the past too, when I was younger, and it was, gosh, I don't remember what I was hooked on a long time ago. Like I collected rocks for a while when I was a little kid, you know, I don't remember. At any rate, there was a time when, a Mech Warrior minis, like miniatures games, it was a Clicks game, I think
mm-hmm.
came out, and I was like, it started with Star Wars cards, Star Wars CCG. That's what it was for me when I was in high school. Because Magic was out when I was in high school. Shortly after Magic came Star Wars CCG, and I was like, oh! But anyway, MechWarrior Minis, I dove hard into that. And then, like, one day realized, oh, great, I've spent, like, $300 in less than a month on MechWarrior Minis. I mean, I had some pretty sweet minis, but... But, you know, and my friends and I would get together once a week and play, and that was great. And I was super bad at the game, and I never had any fun playing the game, but I kept wanting to get more minis. And I was like, I got a problem here. I gotta make a clean break. And so I sold all my minis, all of it, my whole set to a friend, and never played it again.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, cold turkey. I had to do the same thing actually with buying action figures. I had the same problem buying action figures. Because back when I worked at the mall on the dock of the department store, it was too easy every Tuesday morning to go over to KB Toys and look at everything they just pulled out of a box and buy a bunch of action figures. And I still have a drawer full of action figures, a lot of Spawn stuff, you know, Spawn and McFarlane toys. Not because
a drawer,
I like.
You have a shelf here.
There's a shelf there. There's a lot more downstairs.
Randomly packed with action
there's
figures.
I have a whole Foot Locker full of unopened RoboCop figures too.
I see here. I think
Storm Shadow's there. Snake Eyes is back there too.
Is this? Shredder?
No, that's Snake Eyes.
Oh, he's got some weird stuff.
He does have some weird body armor in that
Iron
version.
I see Iron Man, Earthworm Jim.
That's Darkstalkers, the werewolf guy from Darkstalkers, okay. The fighting game. I've also got Riding Hood in there from that, too. Earthworm Jim is in there. That's Riding Hood from Darkstalkers. Yeah. I've never actually played Darkstalkers.
Like rubberized clothing.
Yeah, it was just a cool werewolf. I like werewolves.
Oh, there's also Toto. Wait, why do you have Toto?
Because that's not Toto. It's not Red Riding Hood. It's, you know, the girl in the red hood or whatever, and she has a little dog with her in the game.
Little dog too?
Yeah. Anyway, so I had to make a clean break, cold turkey, back with MechWarrior minis. And so Marvel Dice Masters scares me.
Me too. It scares me a lot. It terrifies me.
Right.
Right now they don't have starters in our store.
Right.
And I checked online and they have starters with like $50.
Yeah.
And normally they're 15, so screw that. I'm not that excited about the game.
Right.
But like, what doesn't help is our local game store is super smart. They're like, hey, buck a piece. 60 come in a box though, so we'll sell you a box for 55. And I just hear, I'm saving $5. And I have to remind myself that that's not enough to make it matter. But then I start thinking like a collector. I say, well, hey, is there a guaranteed distribution if you buy a box compared to buying open packs?
Oh, sure.
And if there is a guaranteed distribution, well, then you're better off buying a box.
Because
if I know that I'm going to get rares, if I know when I buy a box that I might get an ultra rare, more so than if I'm just randomly buying packs, then why would I not buy a box, you know? And it becomes really easy to start to rationalize spending more money on this stuff.
Yeah.
It's
bad news.
And my other argument about it is, when are we going to play Marvel Dice Masters?
Never.
We barely have time to play our own games.
Right.
Sometimes we get to play our own games or other games. You know, every week we try and play ours, but like, I mean, I guess at work we could play on lunch.
See, the thing that upsets me about it is that it's basically Quarriors.
Yeah.
There's some rules tweaks, but it's basically Quarriors. I really liked Quarriors. I still really like Quarriors, but it was its own unique, you know, IP.
Did WizKids do Quarriors?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was its own thing, its own story, its own setting, its own creatures and whatever. And I think that's part of why nobody got into it. Nobody played. And so every time I say, hey, I have this cool dice game where it's like, you know, it's like deck building, but instead of, you know, it's buying cards, you're buying dice and your dice bag.
Building.
It's dice, you know, it's cool. And people go, nah, yeah, whatever. Let's do the other. But if I said, hey, I've got this cool dice game about Marvel superheroes fighting each other, everybody will go, yeah.
And the first set is X-Men versus Avengers or Avengers versus X-Men.
So it's like that. To me, that's like I could play the game that I already know how to play, that I already really enjoy playing, and with this theme switch, it'll make it easy for other people to want to sit down and play it with me. That's really exciting.
That's the thing, is people might actually play it with you.
But you know, I don't need to spend the money on that.
I know what's tough is like if I could go out and buy a booster pack, I mean a starter and 10 boosters, $25 investment, less than 30 with tax.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. But then they're going to come out with another set.
All right.
And the next set, they already announced, is...
Oh, did they?
Oh, what is it? I don't remember, but it's cool.
Of course it's cool. It's Marvel.
Right. It's cool. Yeah. I don't remember what it is, but it's cool. I remember hearing about it and being like, oh, gosh, that's not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have all the things have rarities, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's uncommon. There's common, uncommon. Common, uncommon, rare, and there's ultra rare.
I think it was super rare.
Super rare, whatever.
Yeah.
And there's only four of those in a set, but I mean, again, are they super rare because they're the best?
Or are they just because they're rare? I don't know.
I know one of the super rares is Black Widow.
Oh.
Because somebody told me that.
Yeah.
The dude who runs the game store.
Yeah.
And he was like, see, here's the, and they had prices on them. And I was like, $15 for a super rare, that's not bad. He's like, oh yeah, that's what it was. It's like 60 now. And I was like, okay, that makes more sense.
That's great. Oh, I'm probably going to go buy some of those.
Well, I mean, they don't have starters yet.
I know,
so.
But I'll probably go next time I go to Fanfare, if they have starters, I'll probably buy a starter.
Well, let me know if they do, because I'll probably get one too.
Yeah, I might as well just get two and you can pay me back.
Sounds good. Actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking was, if we wanted to get into it, we could each buy a starter and split a case of boosters. See?
Oh, that's not a good idea at all. It's not a good idea, Jason.
I know.
It's a terrible idea. Don't make me do that. Please don't make me do that.
Technically, you're saving money. You get 2.5 packs for free that way.
No, I'm not saving money. I'm spending way too much money.
That's how our wives talk about
things,
though.
Already, well, I know.
I saved money. It was on sale.
Oh, man. This new Lush cosmetics store just opened up in Grand Rapids, and Christine went up there last weekend to buy a bunch of bath bombs and lotions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And It's all necessary. I mean, I need to wash my hair, right? Well, yeah, I want you to wash your hair. Yeah, so spend $75 on a bottle of shampoo or however much it is.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I think it's not that much. I'm exaggerating.
You can go buy some boosters. It's probably okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, games. So what else is going on?
Not much.
Yeah, how are your prototypes going?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just talked about that for a long time.
We did. I guess that was our feature of the week this week. Yeah. Hey, feature of the week, addiction.
Yeah, well, I mean, feature of the week addiction. Was kind of like value proposition, and then it turned into about being addicted to games. Yeah. So that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, a game you were addicted to for a while, just to finish this topic up, was Sentinels of the Multiverse.
I was, yeah.
You were addicted that's to true. Buying games right. you, and that's not a perfect playing
example.
It.
This is a perfect example because I was like, oh, I like this universe. I like this world. Oh, they're making an expansion. I need that. They're making another expansion. I need that. I still haven't played the first game more than like 3 times. I can't buy a third expansion.
At least you only bought 2 expansions before you stopped.
I know. So perfect example. And listeners have lived through my torment with that.
Right.
Since the beginning of the show.
Right. So yeah. So spend responsibly, gamers. Spend responsibly.
Buy games, but only within your means.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't buy games you're going to play. Don't buy games you're not going to play.
Hi, my name is Rob, and I'm a board game addict. I'm a collectible nerd thing addict. Okay. Well, yeah. On to cheerier subjects, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we decided we're going to do a team pitch challenge today.
We are.
Mm-hmm. You somehow came across a card, a deck of cards.
Well, it's not really a pack deck. Of cards. It's a pack. Sorry. Here's the thing. I live across the street from a middle school, you know, and there's a lot of kids that walking back and forth to school every day along the street outside my house, and they like to throw a bunch of trash in my front yard. And in the winter, when there's snow everywhere, I don't know the trash is there because it gets covered up by snow and snow plows and things. Mm-hmm. So this spring, after the snow melted, I went along my fence in front of my yard and I filled up 4.5 5-gallon buckets with garbage.
Whoa!
Yeah. Lots of garbage. Those kids are messy. But among that garbage was a package of Disney's The Hunchback of Notre Dame trading cards. 11 cards per pack, including Finger Puppet, Puzzle, Build-A-Tower, Pop-Out, and more.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening there.
I know, right. It's a sealed package. Sealed package.
So we decided that this week and next week we're going to do pitch challenges. So I got a few packs of a different thing from Fanfare that were like 25 cents a pack.
Right. So mine was found. Jason's was basically, you know, overstock. Well,
that says on the back, what does that say? $2?
$2, and this is 99 cents there. So this cost a child, some small child, maybe 99 cents. Okay. And then some other small child probably stole it and threw it in the snow. And that child who spent the 99 cents on it is probably crying, or was when they lost it.
Well, if he listens to the show, little child,
yeah,
we've got the pack for you.
Yeah. Keep your Disney's The Hunchback of Notre Dame trading cards in their official collector album for only $13.99. Includes postage and handling. To order, send your name, address, zip code, and birth date with a check or money order to that address. Please allow 6 weeks for delivery. Offer expires. This is good. Offer expires January 30th, 1997.
Wow.
Or while supplies last. These cards have been in this package for a long time.
Something tells me the kid doesn't care about those cards.
Yeah, I'm with you now.
By the way, though, that little spiel on the back there, that's why we're addicted to games.
Yeah.
Thanks, Disney. Thanks for that, jerks.
Right. Official collector album.
Yeah.
It's a whole industry. Well, should I tear this bad boy open?
Let's do it.
And what we're going to do is we're going to try and make a game using the components in this package.
Right.
Okay. It's dry. It's not affected by the snow that it was lost in for months.
So there's only how many cards in there?
11.
11 cards.
So we've got Welcome to the World. Oh, hey. We start with a little pamphlet that says, Welcome to the World of Card Collecting. And it's a little booklet.
My gosh, welcome to the world of addiction, kids.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not going to read through all that because that's unnecessary. Well,
but could be a component if we needed it.
Yeah, story cards, character cards, pop-outs, topsy-turvy cards, coin cards. Are there coins in here?
I hope there's coins in here. Oh, this could be amazing.
Okay, first thing we've got here is Djali, DJ Ollie. Djali?
It's a rabbit? No, it's a donkey. It's a goat.
I like DJ Ollie. All right, so we already have
DJ Ollie.
DJ Ollie.
He's our main character, maybe.
Yeah, the Indian goat. As in, you know, from India.
Right.
We have a little picture here of the Hunchback and the girl in the movie. I've never seen it. I don't know her name. Esmeralda, it says on here. So we have a picture of them.
Okay.
It says in the back later, Esmeralda and her pet goat, DJ Ollie. I love that.
I think it's pronounced DJ Ollie, but
whatever. He's DJ
Ollie is awesome.
DJ Ollie slip into the cathedral seeking safety. Quasimodo appears and tells her he knows a secret way from the cathedral and leads her to the bell tower. Looking at Quasimodo's miniature carved world, Esmeralda marvels at his imagination and creativity. Quasimodo has found his first true friend. So maybe this is a game about friendship. Oh, we have a checklist here for all the different cards.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because to fuel addiction.
Mm-hmm. We have a... We have a gargoyle named Laverne. Laverne.
Okay.
Okay. We have a gypsy spirit. Gypsy spirit with a special fortune on the back. Your beautiful inner spirit will prevail, just like Quasimodo's.
Oh, aww. Quasimodo.
Yeah. We've got... Oh, here's a puzzle. A puzzle piece.
Oh, dude, that card's a puzzle.
Yeah. Mix and match top and bottom, so this will pull apart.
You don't have to pull it apart.
I'm not going
to
do that right now.
So that could be our currency in the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, we have pawns. We have pawns.
This is a rare find.
This is super rare. We have two punch out things. One's a shepherd and one's a sheep. So we have pawns to play. Oh, we got a punch out stand up theater. Dude, this is amazing.
This is really awesome.
This is really cool.
I want to collect this.
Here, take that. We have part of a castle, or no, part of a cathedral that looks like it's supposed to assemble with others.
Oh, yeah, I think that's...
Yeah. We've got coins! Dude, we have coins.
Oh, three coins?
Three like? Coins, three coin coins. Cards. We have a girl, we have a goat, and we have a little dude. So, it's Star, D, and Jester.
Okay.
Okay. We have another puzzle. We have another puzzle. This is many more pieces. And then... Oh, dude. Okay, here it comes. We have the Jester's Challenge.
Okay.
Okay. Activity. Balance this card on one of your fingers. Using only your finger, pass it to any finger on your other hand without dropping it. Game effect. Play this card and choose one opponent who may not lay down a set on his or her next turn. So this is like a game built in.
We can't use that.
No, we can't. Because
we're designing a game. We've got three cards I think that could easily be character cards. There's DJ Alley. Laverne the Gargoyle, and the Gypsy Spirit.
Okay.
So let's call those character cards. Now, okay. There's only three, so only that's three. Not going to work as for each player.
Well, that's why I think it's good for us to use the punch-outs, the shepherd, and the sheep here as pawns, and just make it a two-player game.
Okay.
Okay, and then you can have your pawn visit one of these characters for some special action.
And if that's the case, then we could add in these two extra cards, which are locations.
Yeah. Right, so one is the... one is the
cathedral, and the other is, I think, also the cathedral. But, I mean, I guess one is you can go talk to Quasimodo, and the other is you could...
Check out the flying buttresses.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do with that.
Call the architect, maybe.
Okay, so these pieces now. So there's two puzzles.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe the puzzles should be, like, maybe the puzzles are going to signal the end of the game.
When both puzzles are completed?
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Okay, so you have a pawn, and there are three characters, and there are two locations out on the table.
Yep.
All right. Each character allows you to take a separate action, and you have to go to a location to get a puzzle piece, let's say.
Okay.
Okay. So, so we want to... The game ends when you finish... Oh, we can't forget about the theater. The 3D theater.
Yeah, I was going to say we could use the theater. If you go to the theater, maybe you can have a coin.
Okay.
Then we need to figure out what the coins do.
What do the coins do? All right. So you go to the theater. You got to go to the theater and you put on a show. And then you get paid for putting on a show at the theater. That makes sense. Now, there are three different denominations of coins. Maybe we just want to call them all just coins. And not worry about different denominations.
Yeah, that might be good.
Simpler. Okay, so can we add like a die to this? Is that fair?
I don't think so.
No, we got to go with what we got.
Well, I mean, what do we need a die for?
Well, I'm just thinking maybe you have to roll to see how good the show you put on a theater is, and if you visit the gypsy spirit, he'll give you a bonus to your roll.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Maybe the coins are for scoring. Maybe the coins are for scoring. The first person to get 2 coins is the winner.
Well, I mean, one thing we could easily do is the coins match the characters.
Uh-huh.
There's a sheep coin and there's a shepherd. Well, it's not a shepherd coin, but it kind of looks
like
it.
It's kind of a shepherd.
So, like, everybody, each person could have a coin and they could use that to place that somewhere. So, they're moving from place to place, but, like, their influence is determined by the coin.
Okay, okay.
The coin's
I like
at.
That. So every turn, you put your pawn in one of the locations, and you put your influence on a location,
mm-hmm.
or on a character or a location. And if those two things are together, it means one thing, but if you're two separate places, it means a different thing. And then we have the maiden coin, or the star coin.
Now, the star coin, that could be... So if I put my coin on one, uh-huh. you can't put your coin on it, right?
Right.
So you put your coin on the other. So whenever one is vacant, mm-hmm. the star coin falls on it.
Okay.
Thus, doing something to lock that.
Okay, because that with 5 different options, that's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, because max we can cover is 4 spots, and one place is always going to be empty, so it negates that, that makes that place unavailable for the next turn?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that actually works out perfect, because there's five things right. you can do,
yeah.
and there's 4 tokens. So that 5th one always gets blocked.
Right. Okay.
What if we do the puzzles backwards? What if it's not completing a puzzle? What if the puzzles start complete and we're taking them apart?
Okay, we could do that. So one of the puzzles only has 2 pieces and the other one has probably like 16 pieces.
Oh yeah, the one that literally has 2 pieces.
Yeah.
That's kind of lame. In fact, it might actually be better to just use this one as a card.
Mm-hmm.
Because one side has a happy gesture and the other side has like a devil gesture.
Oh, you're right.
So that could
I didn't
be like
see that.
That could affect the game state.
Right. Right. Huh. And this is meant to be you can pull it apart and flip it around. So maybe you want to flip those back. So, okay, so the game starts with the gesture with it assembled incorrectly. And you want to, maybe the game end is to see whoever can flip it around? Ah, gosh. I feel like we need a target. We need a game end.
Well, I think the game end is the puzzle needs to be completed.
It's completed or disassembled.
Yeah, either way. But what allows you to put the puzzle together?
Okay, yeah. So what do we do to make that?
We should probably, yeah. Like, so the puzzle has to get put together, so... let's talk about each location or character you can visit and what they do, right? Okay.
So the goal is to finish the puzzle.
Right.
Finish both puzzles?
No, finish the one puzzle. Oh, whoa.
Okay.
The goal is to, so what if one player is the happy side and one player is the devil side?
Okay.
Of the jester.
Okay.
So... to win the game, you need this to be on your side. Like, if I'm the shepherd, say I need it to be
okay.
fully on my side. The other guy wants it to be on his side.
Okay.
So that's... when the game ends, that's what you want to be the case. Now, how you influence that, I don't know.
Okay, well, okay. How about this? So maybe the actions... maybe we can both move the sheep and the shepherd. We can both move them, and when the sheep is somewhere, it does one thing. When the shepherd is somewhere, it does something else. So we've got these character cards and these locations that are all start face up. And when the shepherd there or when the sheep is there, the sheep goes and messes everything up. It causes chaos, and you flip the card over.
Okay.
Okay. And when the shepherd goes there, he can make it right side up again.
Okay. Restores order.
Right. So you're yeah. So the sheep causes chaos. The shepherd restores order.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So if you can get all of the cards to be... or if you can get 3 out of the 5 cards to be your way, so, you know, the devil guy is face down, the happy guy...
he wants to disorder the happy guy's face up.
Right. So if you can get 3 out of the 5 your way, then you get to... I don't know. Then you can flip the card to your side. Gosh, I don't know. It's tricky. I really want to use this little carnival tent somehow.
Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't use it.
I just, A carnival tent. Is this a gateway of some kind, maybe?
It does kind of look, the pawns would fit through it. I think that's the idea. Right.
Maybe the characters and the locations are in a line and the tent stands at the end.
Hey, maybe the goal is to get them on each side of the tent.
One on each side of the tent.
Well, I'm one side of the tent, you're the other side of the tent. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the tent, you're out of the tent. The shepherd wants everything in the tent, the sheep wants everything out of the tent. So they...
So maybe we can be moving the tent, because it's a stand-up 3D thing that's on the table, and we could have these cards in a line, you know. You know what we could even do? We could say it's four characters, because one of those two locations actually has Quasimodo and Esmeralda on it. So we could say it's four characters.
And that's true. Yeah.
You know? And then the tent starts in the middle, two and two, and you and moves things into the tent, or moves the tent one way, and the sheep moves things and moves the tent the other way.
Right.
Okay. So we still need to know. So we have our end goal. The sheep wants everything out of the tent, or one player wants everything out of the tent.
Right.
The other person wants everything inside the tent.
So you're doing a lot of push and pull.
Push and pull. Right.
That makes
sense. It's all push and pull. Okay. All right. So is that affecting our good jester, bad jester card?
Hmm.
And what about the coins?
Let's talk about the jester for a second. If you use the jester as a catch-up mechanic?
Okay.
When it's in the middle, you've got the jester is wrong.
Okay.
50-50. But as soon as it moves over to one side, it becomes the boon of the person who's losing. Right? So if I'm down to only having one thing in the tent, for instance, and that's my mm-hmm. goal, mm-hmm. then it flips to all my side, and that gives me help.
Okay.
To try and fight you off, right?
Okay.
So
if you're going to, so I'm good and you're bad, right? I want everything in the tent because I'm the good shepherd. Okay.
Right.
So if I get it to the point where three out of the four are in the tent, then the jester flips to the bad side.
Yep.
And it's going to be easier for you to push the tent back.
Right.
And I have to use a coin to resist that.
Right.
Okay. How do I get the coins?
I think you each start with a coin.
We each start with a coin. Okay, so how do you get the third coin then?
Because
there's nothing in here that really allows for randomization, you know? Which maybe, it's okay. It'd just be nice to be able to do that with a die roll.
Actually.
Oh, you could flip a coin. You could just flip the coin. Heads and tails.
Yeah. Or, to make it even more interesting.
Uh-huh.
You could, if I'm a player, I could...
You are a player.
Player. What if you never have the coins? The coins are your randomization factor, right?
Okay.
So when you say, I'm going to take an action, I'm going to pick a coin, uh-huh. right? I say, okay. And I give you two coins. I pick the two coins that I want to draw from. I give them to you. You do the old in your hands, and you hold them both like this.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then you open your hand, bloop, I can see what coin I got. I pick which hand, right? It's perfect randomization there.
Mm-hmm.
But it allows you to try and play the other player. Because you're like, all right, do I want to put it in this hand or this hand?
Take all three, and you put two in one hand and one in the other.
No, I pick two. Each coin has a separate action.
Oh.
So I pick which two actions I want to choose from. Now you, as the chooser, have two options. Mm-hmm. You could put them in separate hands, or you could put them both in one hand. Put them both in one hand, that gives the chance that I'm going to get hosed, because I'm going to pick an empty hand. But on the other hand, if I pick the hand with both of them...
I get to do two actions.
Right.
All right, I'm liking this a lot.
So,
yeah,
it just seems like an interesting way to do some randomization.
So that decides what your actions are. Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. So one of them is to move the tent, let's say. So one of the actions is to move the tent.
Okay.
What are the other actions?
This one has a D on it. D for move.
D for move.
Drive the tent.
I drive
it forward.
I think it actually should be the one with the little guy juggling.
Juggling, there. Yeah, that makes sense. And then there's the star.
Star.
What if the star allows you to take a puzzle piece from the puzzle? And there are, how many puzzle pieces are there? 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 puzzle pieces. 15 puzzle pieces. What if every time I get a puzzle piece, I get, you know, I hold on to it. And what if that's another end game mechanic, right?
Oh.
Like, if I can get all the puzzle pieces, I also win.
Okay. All of them or more than 50%?
More than 50%. Let's say that, I guess.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. That doesn't sound great,
well,
but...
Well, it's something. We can work with that. And then the third coin is a D.
Death.
That's no fun.
Yeah. It is about the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Right.
Dang.
You just go, oh, dang. And then you move on.
D is for dud. Doesn't do anything. No. Why would you ever pick that coin to be held, though?
Yeah, right.
What if the D is like an anchor? You can put the D in a spot to anchor down.
So the
tent can't, move past that until someone uses the star to unlock it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I like that. So D, you're basically...
Yeah, it's like driving stakes in. You're driving stakes
into the ground, and the star releases...
Or
and then the jester.
It's a tent. It's anchored down.
Oh, okay. Turn the D side. And then the jester. So the star removes the D. The D anchors the tent. The jester moves the tent.
And you can still move the tent if the D is there. You just can't move it towards the. You can't move it past the D.
Right. You can only move it away up to or away from the D.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. We haven't used the puzzle now. Maybe we don't need the puzzle.
Maybe when you finish the game, you put the puzzle together. That sounds like fun. I did kind of like the puzzle as a timing mechanic. Seemed kind of cool.
Maybe that's just a turn counter.
Yeah, and at the end of 15 turns, the game ends.
Right, and whichever person the tent is closer to is the winner.
Right, and if it's in the middle, it's the person with the most coins.
Yeah.
And if that still doesn't cut it... then the game's still over because we're just playing around here.
Right. Okay. Hey, there you go, dude.
We didn't use the tokens, though. We talked about it.
Well, the pawns?
They
sit in front of you, so you can remember who's supposed to do who. Who's supposed to do what.
Sounds good.
Yeah. That's all. I mean, it's just a way for you to remember what your role is.
That's true.
Okay. Hey, dude, we just designed a game.
A game nobody wants to play.
No one will ever play. That's okay. That's not what it's about.
No, it was fun. That was good.
It's about the creative exercise. That was great. I feel really good about that.
I do, too. Yeah. We were wavering a little bit there. I thought it was going to be another pom-pom thing, but we.
Right on. And we didn't use every component, but
we used most of them. Yeah. We didn't need to use every component.
Yeah. Hey, who needs that? Be a great micro game.
That would be.
It'd be the best micro game of all time.
No. False.
Far from it.
False.
All right, man. That was a fun exercise. So next week, we're going to be doing that again with a different set. You've got 6 booster packs there. Well, tell listeners what those cards are, what that series is. The cards?
You're not even for listening. Next week is the... I was looking for questions. The next week is the Valiant Era is the name of the cards.
Yeah.
Again, for 25 cents a piece, I got 6 packs, 8 cards per pack. So we'll probably design a very different game.
Yeah, and what's the date on the back of those packages? The
date on the back of these packages? 1993.
So those are 11-year-old cards.
Wow.
And it's sitting in those packs at our local friendly local game store for 11 years. And they're going to have new life thanks to our stupid show.
Yes.
I'm excited about that. I am going to... I'll take a picture of these Hunchback cards so that we can put them in the show notes on the website. And then I will promptly throw them in the trash because I don't care.
Aww.
Unless somebody, listeners out there, want to let me know that you want them, then I'll be happy to send you an email saying, gosh, I'm sorry, because I already threw them in the trash. Yeah.
Maybe we'll keep them. We'll see what happens.
If you want to keep them, you're welcome to them.
Maybe I'm going to collect the whole set.
Well, it's what we do, right?
We'll bring them to Gen Con and give them away to some lucky winner.
Oh, that's a great idea. No, nobody wants those.
Hey, so a couple of notes to pass along here.
Okay.
First, Jessica Nida, who we just had on Something from Nothing,
yeah,
wants everybody to know that she talked about a game jam on there, and they can sign up for that game jam at pass-the-jam.com. Passthejam.com. Pass-the-jam.com. Yeah. Great name for that.
Yeah, if you weren't listening to, or if you weren't watching Something from Nothing last week, then her idea is she's going to do a game jam that kind of spans video games and tabletop. The concept, if I understood it correctly, was that you should bring some idea that you've given up on or that you're stumped on and give it to somebody else, and they will finish your game. That's the goal. And you get someone else's stumped or given up on idea that you can finish for them, which is, I think, kind of a really cool, clever idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a couple other things here I was going to mention. The first thing is we got an email today from Asma Abdul Kahar.
Mm-hmm.
Email just says, "Can I trust you? Please let me know." Pretty sure that's spam, but it was the dumbest spam I've ever seen, so I wanted to read about it on the show.
No, you can't trust us.
No, don't trust us. Not even a little bit.
We are not trustworthy. Just because we have microphones and we talk on the internet does not make us trustworthy.
I really wanted to respond to the person and say, "I got your back, Jack." But I don't want to get like some crazy email virus somehow. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Thank you to Nate Darty, who sent me some nice pics of him playing Water Balloon Washout.
Hey, right on.
All right. I think that's what we got for now.
Well, I want to give a reminder shout out about the Tabletop Deathmatch, tabletopdeathmatch.com. My episode of Rocket Wreckers aired a couple of weeks ago. Since then, there have been episodes on Pack the Pack and The Cool Table and Discount Salmon. And another one I don't recall the name because we're recording this before it's actually airing. So I'm not sure what episode that's going to be. But it'll be up there. Check it out. The episodes are great. And I've had a lot of fun watching them. And I think you guys really enjoy it. I still don't know who the winner is. But there's some really, really cool, unique, and interesting games that are being presented on there. So you should keep your eyes open and watch that. Because there are good things coming from all the people involved.
Yes, there are. Or so you tell me. The guys from Flip the Table wanted us to talk about building prototypes.
Oh.
Have we discussed it before? Actual construction. Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm.
That was in a previous episode. I'm not sure what episode it was. But if you go to our episode list on our website, it will. There's a tab called episode list. Go to that. Mm-hmm. I'm confident that the word prototypes is in the title.
I'm less confident, but probably.
Probably. If I can find it in there, I'll link in the show notes for this week's episode. Right. But if I can't find it in there, good luck, because you'll never find it if I can't find it.
Well, there's only 101 episodes before this one for you to listen to.
Plus like 38 bonus episodes.
It's not a bonus episode. You can just skip those.
Right. So
that's all we got?
We have one more comment that we're going to talk about next week. They
suggested
something we could talk about as a... feature. We're actually going to do that this week, and then we talked about game addictions, mm-hmm. so and value propositions.
There you go.
Addiction is all about proposition.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, on thanks. That note.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening to the show. We super, super appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, and we encourage that, you send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg, and Jason is @JASlingerland. And I'm @poorly_designed. And you can like us on Facebook, and you can give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We haven't gotten too many of those lately, but we would love to see some more of those, so please and thank you. Don't forget about Something from Nothing, our bi-weekly video show where me and Jason and TC Petty and Chevy Dodd hang out and talk about games we're working on. We talk to other designers in the industry, and we just kind of hang out for an hour, and you can watch it at your leisure. Watch it live, watch it on YouTube. We've also got a podcast feed if you want to hear the audio. Last thing, we want to give a quick plug to Chevy's Kickstarter for his game Pull. That's got about a week left, I think.
Something right about there, yeah.
It's a fun little trick-taking game. It's about shooting clay pigeons, and we really think you guys will dig it. So give that a look.
You should do that.
Yeah. So, thanks again. Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game.
One thing that I always thought G.I. Joe could have used as a force was a standard uniform.
Yeah, well, you know, that sells fewer toys.
Like, hey, I understand you're a basketball player and that's exciting for you.
Yeah.
But maybe a basketball jersey isn't the best thing to wear in a battle.
Maybe put on a flak jacket.
Or I get that you're a ninja dude, but when you just wear martial arts pants and a headband,
Quick Kick.
That was his name. Okay. Yeah.
There's several, I think, but
he's the one I remember. I liked the G.I. Joe movie with the Renegades. Sergeant Slaughter and the Renegades.
Yeah, that was the main movie.
They were the best.
Oh, yeah.
I liked them.